The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 543. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, it's almost time to turn the calendar to the new month of September, which means that in the month of August, we had a lot of wrestling news and happenings that we need to talk about. And when I say we, of course, I'm talking about my partner, Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos. He's going to join me and we're going to talk about all of the events that have happened in the recent few weeks in the world of professional wrestling. We're going to cover things like AEW's All In, the fallout from that event as well, NXT and their big heatwave event. We're going to get on the road to AAA's Triple Mania. And we're even going to talk a little bit about the upcoming Sunday night's main event. So we got a host of great wrestling discussion for each and every one of you. But before we get to that particular conversation, I need to thank a sponsor. And that sponsor is, of course, Courtney614 Deals. Courtney614 Deals has all types of items for sale, whether you're talking about health and beauty, clothing, home decor, books, magazines, artwork, etc., etc. And she can be found on all those reselling sites like eBay, Whatnot, Poshmark, Mercury, and others. Simply search her IG to find the deals you want. And once again, you can find her at CORTNEY614 Deals. And if you make a purchase, please let Courtney know that you heard about her endeavors right here on the PVD Cast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Gerald Glassford talking about the state of pro wrestling.
And we're back with another episode of the State of Pro Wrestling. This is in our actual regularly scheduled State of Pro Wrestling. We've had some specials that we've thrown in there, always fun to do. But it is, of course, Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos, Lakers Fast Break, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and more, coming to you to bring you the best in pro wrestling news and information that we do on at least a once-a-month basis, and it truly is a pleasure to go ahead and cover the world of professional wrestling, but I can't do it alone. I need a tag team partner. I need a guy who's going to go ahead and be the enforcer, be the guy who's going to go ahead and go after the fans if needed. I want to be the guy, that obviously talks the smack, but we need the guy to back it up, and he is here today. If he is indeed the man to go ahead and captured the world championship of podcasting on let's do the actual Ric Flair number, 27 or 23 or 25 time world podcasting champion that he is. He is, of course, the man behind the PVD Cast and, of course, also as well, Matt Talk, which is not wrestling related. It is, of course, my good friend and tag team partner, John Orlando. What's up, Matt?
Oh, not much. How are things with you?
Well, if you watched All In, I feel like it's that. I actually had a good gif at this one at one time where it was just a skeleton sitting on a chair after watching a six-hour pay-per-view, if you include the pre-show. So, yeah, that'll tell you. Plus, also as well, AAA concurrently running. Gee, no intentional thought there at NXT. Heatwave intentionally running as well. So much to discuss on a very busy wrestling Sunday just before the end of August, my friend.
Yeah, and look, you know, All In, that's their big event. That's AEW's big event. I'm sure going to talk about it, analyze it, and discuss it. But there was some other interesting shows that went on as well. And, you know, let's go ahead and let's jump on into it, shall we? Jared, let's not twiddle our thumbs. Let's jump into it.
Fair enough, indeed. We will start with All In in London, taking place over the course of the weekend. It is AEW's version of WrestleMania. I think with the presentation, I'm going to give them the props at this point in time because, you know, you and I are sort of down on AEW. You and I have not liked the storytelling aspects of a lot of stuff that went on. Even the main event, which was Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay, even though we knew from the get-go what the outcome was already going to be, just the leading up to it, we didn't feel it was clicking as far as the interviews and far as the promos going back and forth and whatnot, which we talked about before, how important a promo is one of our special editions. So with that said, leading up to it, I do want to give them praise for, during the show, providing a production value that was markedly increased from what they've done previously, the way they showcase matches, the way they preview matches, especially the big one between Omega and Ospreay. And I want to give them compliments on that. I also want to give them compliments on the fact that, you know, when they started out, they were actually, you know, they actually, if people forget this fact, that they were actually on their Dynamite show, had over a million viewers at that point in time. They since regressed. They went down into, at some point in times, I think in the 600s and the 500s, as far as thousands are concerned. But in recent weeks, it's fluctuated back and forth, but it ended up doing what it needed to do as far as a high for quite some time at around 800,000 viewers as far as leading into it. So I want to say that momentum was on their side. And while I will not go as far as what legendary journalist and vilified individual on the internet, Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, said, talking about how this was the last 90 minutes was the greatest 90 minutes of wrestling he's ever seen as far as a pay-per-view is concerned. I'm not going to go that far. There was some good work. There was some sloppiness in the ladies' championship match. In the men's championship match, it was good for what it was. Really good as far as consider it above El Grande Americano versus El Grande Americano? No. I think the passion I felt watching that match was a slightly bit better than what I saw in All In 2026. But the moves were obviously the wrestling was very slick, very well structured. London was obviously well behind Will Ospreay, and obviously they popped big for when he won. I will say, of course, the fact when you're giving some really finishing moves and you're kicking out at one and then your opponent does the same exact thing, I was kind of taken aback by that, saying, you know what, why do it? It's like when the DDT became just a transition move.
Yeah.
Why do it, indeed? But again, that's not to fault them as far as, you know, how well the match was. It is one of the best AEW matches I've ever seen. It's not the best, but one of the best I've ever seen. So I will give them credit for it. Overall, it was a really good card. Overflowing, stacked card, indeed. And yeah, absolutely. As far as that's concerned, really, really, really just something to go ahead and talk about as far as the entire card is concerned. Your thoughts, you took a chance to go ahead and see All In as far as some, you know, from your observations as someone who, again, like me, is not been the kindest to AEW over the years. I think this was a great showing by them. I think we'll talk about their future going forward, how they can springboard off this, and if they will here in a second. But your thoughts with All In. Again, new arrivals with New Level, aka the New Day, coming in there, Motor City Machine Guns. They had returning Britt Baker from whatever part of banishment she was in. Now she's, I guess, back to an extent. What's going on? Cool, bro. Great to have you here. Yes, I know your Rams are going to be doing great things. And if they don't win the championship, I'm going to let you know about that. But with that said, my friend, he's a vaunted Rams fan, by the way. With that said, your thoughts on All In 2026?
Well, I wanted to say real quickly that, yes, in complete transparency, in all honesty, I did not watch the event itself because, number one, I took it upon myself to go see an indie show, an indie wrestling show that was happening in Ohio, a couple of towns away from me. And, yeah, again, 13 matches is way too much. Although, I will give them credit. When you look at the times of the matches, not too many of them went above 20 minutes. The Roulette Royale, the trios match, went 39 minutes, but mostly everything else was around 12 minutes. We got 17 minutes, got 17 minutes again, 21 minutes, 15 minutes. So even though there were 13 matches, I feel like they were trying to at least shrink down the time a little bit to make it a little bit more friendlier to those folks who are sitting on their couch watching the event. Ospreay and Omega, I thought was good. Much like you, I am annoyed with these awesome moves that only get a one count. I think that just makes you look incredibly weak. You know, the surprises were great. You know, finally the New Level shows up. Britt Baker made it from Pittsburgh apparently in time to be on the show. You know, and of course, we did kind of forget about Steve Borden had a little
well, that's what I was going to get to. Yeah, it with the Sting versus Darby Allin versus Knight match. Again, Knight is someone that really high on. The company should be really high on Kevin Knight. And what do you do when you go ahead and you're really high on someone? You have them lose. When you have a young wrestler who needs a title to get stronger, to get more accessible, more popular and more notoriety with fans, what do? You strip that out of his hands to Darby Allin. Well, there you go. But again, Darby Allin, again, he's great at doing the stunts. He's great at doing the falls. He's trying his heart out to be the equivalent of Mick Foley and falling off of a platform 25 feet above in the air, similar to what Shane McMahon did so many years ago and trying to repeat that. That's fine. Go ahead. Absolutely. You know, and He's the thrill seeker. He's a risk taker. I get that, and I understand that. So with that said, though, just a very perplexing finish, because while MJF and Kevin Knight are the future of AEW. Those two are potential foundation pieces for you, and you go out of your way on your biggest show of the year to make them both look like losers.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, I think we're going to talk about it. You know, you got yourself MJF, who was in, I forget what the match was called. It was the Casino Royale, wasn't it? Or what was it called? I can't remember.
Casino Gauntlet.
The Casino Gauntlet. Thank you. Okay. So you have MJF in there and you're going to put over Andrade. Okay. You know what? My initial thought of that was MJF got screwed. He should have been the winner. But okay, you're going to go somewhere different. You're going to try something different. I got to give you a tip of the hat, AEW, that you're going to have him, because the winner of that match got a open title match. So in the future, we're going to see MJF against Andrade, which will be a great match. But who's going to come out on top with the belt?
What I want to say is because, you know, with Andrade winning this Casino Gauntlet match and becoming the guy that could cash in at any point in time, similar to what you're going to see with next month, the Money in the Bank, what does that do? Is he really the guy that you're going to try and promote going forward? When you do that, which audience are you catering to? Are you catering to an audience strictly for the AEW hardcores, or are you trying to reach out and grow an audience in and of itself?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is, I think if you would ask maybe 10 people, hey, have you heard of Andrade? They've never heard of him. And that's not an insult to him. They just hasn't been pushed
very well.
They'll
just say the former WWE guy.
Yeah, yeah, right. The former WWE Andrade. Look, I think it's going to be a great little program, whatever they do with Andrade. And him working, if he gets that shot against Ospreay, that'll be great. But again, is Andrade that tip-top level, so to speak, of competitor that you want as... That's believable to be running for champion. I mean, I think Look, if they continue to build on Andrade's win, then maybe it'll be a little more palatable for myself, you know, going forward, going, well, he could maybe be a champ. He could maybe beat Ospreay and be the champion. But I don't know. And I feel like that's a lot of these title situations that came out of the show. Who's next for Monet? Like, do they have somebody? Why is it not DMD? Why is she going to be tied up with Thunder Rosa, who, I'm going to be honest, Gerald, I didn't know Thunder Rosa was still in AEW. I haven't seen her on TV in forever. Maybe she's been on and I just haven't seen her, but, you know, I think that if you are definitely trying to build great contenders, you got to start doing it like right now while you got the momentum.
Absolutely. And they do have a lot of momentum. Give them credit for that. Yeah. And I will give them credit for that. They're coming off of, again, technically was a really good show, you know, I'm not going to give it the eternal praise that some others are doing it. I just say it was a really darn good show. They deserve all the credit in doing so. Like you said, Mercedes Monet, she broke her nose in that match with Willow Nightingale, but did get the AEW women's title. And again, credit to them for bringing out a good show. Christian Cage and Adam Copeland still retaining their titles over the Young Bucks, which I approve of. But then, you know, tag teams coming out like the New Level, the Machine City Guns, and FTR and all that. Where is the Hurt Syndicate? A year ago, this team was absolutely gaining a sensation and people chanting, they're going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you. Again, where are they? They're mired in the buy-in. Best chance you have at a dominant tag team, and you put them in the just absolutely just for all the good that they're doing, you confine things, the lack of upward mobility now for a lot of these young AEW wrestlers, because there's so many older WWE wrestlers coming in, and it just, there's so many things that you can say they're doing wrong, but you know what, you got to give them credit when they're doing right.
Well, you know, the thing you don't mention too, the Hurt Syndicate is what they were teamed up with two internet influencers, whatever, AJ and the Costco guy. I don't know I don't remember their names. That's how insignificant they are for me. But AJ and the Rizzler or whatever. Anywho, the Hurt Syndicate should be your top tag team. I've said it many times before. They should be the top tag team. They should
like
not
to hurt
lose.
People. They like to hurt people.
Exactly. Exactly. I even would be for moving in another individual if they had another individual that they wanted to plug in there and have a four-man unit. That would be A-okay with me. I don't know who that individual would be, but yeah, they're just going to have, because, I mean, how many more title runs do the Young Bucks have in the tank?
Again, well, that's why I'm glad that they made the maneuver that they did. You know what I mean? I'm really, 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 really glad that they did not give the titles back to the Young Bucks, because I really have never been high on them. They are technically a good tag team, but they're just hard to promote because whether they're good guys or bad guys, it just, they don't move the needle for a lot of people that are not AEW centric or their upbringings as far as from all the other small promotions that they were part of. For someone like me who has seen them for years now, even in New Japan, et cetera, it just never pressed me enough to say, you know what, those guys are definitely, you got to give the ball that with that, you got to give them the ball and let them run with it.
Agreed. And then there's other tag teams. There's the Rascals that they had on the buy-in. We haven't even talked about the
yeah, and if you're one of them, but what if you're one of them? You're sitting in the locker room. What are you thinking right now with all these other WWE former guys that are now loading up the roster? What do you say if you're someone that's been with them for 5-6 years now and you're seeing yourself lower and lower on the pecking order?
Well, I don't know, because there are some people that we know, it's the story has come out that some people did not mind being dropped down on that because they're still getting paid. They're getting still paid the big bucks.
That's fine. Again, yeah, as long as they're not being asked to get cut in half by like the WWE, I guess that's fine. Yeah. You know what? Johnny Gargano had the best job in wrestling until he wrestled last week. You know, as far as they're concerned, people like, man, they're not using Johnny Gargano, not using Johnny. Wouldn't you and I like to be paid for 6 months of just lying on any table with my wife there traveling along with me and my wife in every one of these skits and being paid for it? Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So, yeah. Again, it's. When it comes to AEW, you've got to give them praise for the production and for the atmosphere. I will not put it at WrestleMania levels. I think that's still a ways to go for them. But this is the biggest venue, the biggest, even a crowd size-wise, it isn't the biggest event for them ever.
What was attendance, by the way?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, live attendance. Now, as far as HBO Max said this is the best viewed or highest amount viewed for their PLE. And again, I think this is the biggest presence for them ever as far as across the stratosphere to a casual audience. So hopefully they take advantage of it since they actually were debuting to a million and almost a million and a half people so many years ago.
What was the attendance for Wembley Stadium? Did you see that?
It was just, I think when it comes when through the wash, I think it's just going to be under 50,000.
Okay.
So right around 50. It got a late close, and I'll give them credit. They did a lot of hard promotion. Will Ospreay did a lot of hard promotion in England. That you know, that's the reason why they got people in the door. It wasn't the setup for what they saw, because those interviews were not really that good. The buildup between Ospreay and Omega was not really that good. But again, I'm going to give them a lot of credit for doing a lot of the legwork in and around England that got people in the door. And what could have been easily a very disappointing 20 to 25,000, you know, like similar to what last year in Texas, when they were in Texas last year. They actually did more. While they didn't do what they did 2 years ago in Wembley, they still having a strong close like that and getting to near 50,000 or at 50,000 when the final wash comes out, they deserve a lot of credit for that as well.
Yep, totally agree. Totally agree that they got themselves a pretty nice number of audience, or number of fans to show up. So yeah, look, I think the future for in the future. That AEW's got to take the people that they have elevated, you know, whether that would be, you know, a Darby Allin, a Persephone, an Andrade. You got to take it and run with it, and definitely make some contenders and make some interesting storylines. That's what I'm trying to say there.
Well, fair enough indeed. But yes, AEW's All In was, actually, again, it was overstuffed. It was long. People, you know, and all those complaints you have are absolutely every right to say so, because it was. You could take three or four matches off this whole thing and could have been fine. You could have been just fine with eight or nine matches. I have no problem with that. And, you know, coming from the WWE, when you see sometimes they have PLEs with four or five matches, I get that. I understand. This is the exact opposite. If we can find a sweet spot in the middle, I think we'd be groovy with that. But with that said, again, outside of the burial of MJF and the Hurt Syndicate, I think they did a lot of good things. So we'll see how well Will Ospreay can carry it. He's not a great talker, but he is still almost as good as he once was in the late 2010s. I don't think I could ever say he's as good as himself and Omega was, right? 2017, 2018, 2019. I really think that's when they were at the peak of their athletic abilities, both of them personally. But they turned back the clock really well. They turned back the clock and they provided a four and a half star, five star. But I don't go six or seven stars. I don't do that. Okay, it goes one to five star for me, and I'd say it's very close to a five star match for me. It is one of the best matches I've seen this year. It's one of the best matches in AEW history. But again, there were some little things I would like to, don't kick out at one. I really did. That really irritates me when you give some really finishing moves and you kick out. Don't kick out at one. That's all I ask. Outside of that, again, some really great performances by both. Wish it would have been MJF in that spot, but then again, he would be losing Will Ospreay, because that was the whole thing going when he came back to injury, is that it was going to be all in 2026 when he came back from injury. So again, this is what their plan is. They're going forward with it. It's been in the works for a long time. And, you know, I want to see what they're going to do with it. I'm hoping they'll take this momentum and run with it and do good things with it. We'll wait and see.
Yep, that's all we can do.
What do you think they should do now going forward, my friend?
Well, I say going forward, if we're talking about just individual things, I think you have to look at that world title picture and you have to start building somebody for Ospreay to face. You got to, whether that's Andrade, whether that's MJF, whether that is anybody else that you want to throw in there, all right? You got to start building that storyline so that people give a care about what they're watching. And you cannot just, you can't kill the momentum by dropping angles in the middle or switching out and having MJF and Andrade in a match and they face Ospreay, or all three of them in a three-way dance. I mean, they got to build it and give it time. I'm a fan of Andrade and I think he would do great things with Ospreay, but I'm just think that they're going to have to build more behind him so that he becomes more of a bigger deal. I guess is that long way that I tried to explain that.
Well, and that's good that you're more of a fan of Andrade than I am of him, because again, he just has never really moved the needle, marriage to Charlotte Flair aside. And I think he has been someone that you could put and slot in a upper mid card type deal. As far as it's concerned, I could give him that, but as a guy that you make as a serious contender for your world title, I still need to see that, because I haven't seen it. I didn't see in the WWE, and I'm not seeing it here as of yet. MJF is trying to give him the rub as best he can, but still, with that said, I just think that again, if he's going to be the first victim to what we're going to see with Will Ospreay, I guess that's fine, because as you and I both know, when you have a champion going forward that you're going to run with, the first title contender always loses. And they do have a lot of guys that they can bring back. Swerve Strickland, Adam Page into the mix. They can bring back a lot of guys. Yeah, I know Adam Page has the I Can't Compete for World title, but you can get around that if you really wanted to. But again, to me, ultimately, will it lead to an MJF regaining the title? We'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that said, my friend, any final thoughts on AEW All In 2026 before we head on out?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, or I think you said it best, you know, we're just gonna have to wait and see what they do and what they start building and see how it turns out.
We'll have to wait and see, but it is, of course, AEW's All In 2026 coming out of London. Again, I give them high props. This is probably, as far as a viewing standpoint, despite the longevity of it, as far as a product is concerned, as far as this is the AEW product and presentation, I would probably say this is the best presentation from start to beginning of their product. Whatever you think of the matches, you know, as far as good, bad, indifferent, otherwise, I really think from a package standpoint, I don't think that they've gotten any better than that. As far as the best show ever or best 90 minutes ever, I'll let others say that because I didn't see that. But I saw a really good match, one of the best matches of the year in the main event where it needed to be. And again, that's what you need to be going forward, especially if you're going to go ahead and have this guy in Will Ospreay be your title holder going forward.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%.
So with that said, my friend, it is, of course, AEW's All In 2026. If you have thoughts on that, please let me know right there at popculturecosmos@yahoo.com, down in the comments below, or also as well at the PVDcast and the PVDcast.com. Indeed, looking forward to hearing your thoughts. I know John is eyeing always the comments from you guys and gals out there on the State of Pro Wrestling as we talk about it here each and every time out right here for you. Indeed. But my friend, it's almost one half hour to go here on the State of Pro Wrestling. It is John Orlando along with me, Joe Glasser. Thanks again for watching this. Truly appreciate it. AAA tried to give a free YouTube show. WWE not trying to go ahead and compete with that, huh? As far as All In is concerned, huh? Not doing anything obvious there, huh? 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 But with that said, basically what it served is a setup for the upcoming Triple Mania. First night of which here is in Las Vegas. And you know, for those out there, good news. They did move from the very tiny esports arena in Luxor, which I had no idea why they were using when they've used the Cox Pavilion alongside the Thomas and Mac here at, you know, at UNLV. They filled that up. I don't know why they didn't choose that again, but instead they've decided to go ahead and go full arena to the MGM Grand Garden Arena, which has seen many a wrestling show over the years. I think that they also, didn't they, for the NWC, I think that one time it was supposed to be an Ultimate Warrior match, I think there at one time, so long ago. I think it was at the MGM, if I remember correctly. But with that said, they have hosted many events from WCW on in, I think WWE at one time as well, there at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. But they are hosting the first night of Triple Mania. The second night, obviously, is going to take place in Mexico. That's going to be coming up here in the not-too-distant future as well. So with that said, that's coming up on the 11th and 13th. Your thoughts, my friend? The one thing with AAA, you are going to get serious matches like Dominic Mysterio versus El Grande Americano for the actual AAA Mega Championship. You will get Rey Fenix, Jack Cartwheel, as far as I'm concerned, for the Cruiserweight Championship, Vikingo and Nathan Frazier along with that. You're going to get those serious matches. And then, of course, the Women's Championship is Flamer versus La Catalina, as far as it's concerned. And then, of course, the famous got to have a trios match. That's on night one with Los Psycho Circus and Los Perros de Mal, who is most likely going to be winning that because they're now the hot group inside of AAA at this point because they're giving El Grande Americano all kinds of problems, who will most likely be getting the title from Dominic Mysterio because since Dominic Mysterio, since he's won the title, cannot win to save his life in the United States, it's just a matter of time that he was going to drop the belt in Mexico anyways. And you think I'm kidding on that, John? Look at his record on Raw since he won that title, and you'll go ahead and understand why I said that. But with that said, my friend, with Triple Mania, the one match I want to start off with first before we get into it as far as El Grande Americano versus Mysterio and all that is AAA Commissioner Rey Mysterio Jr., which still blows my mind. They did an angle, and they've been doing an angle with Omos, 7 foot, I forget, 7'2" or whatnot, Omos, who people don't remember. You know, he's a WWE contracted wrestler and has been for years, but he only seems to work in Mexico. And with that said, my friend, there's now an angle that they have where Mysterio suspended Omos, and the only way he can get a suspension lifted is if he beats Rey Mysterio Jr., someone that's, oh, I don't know, a foot and a half smaller than him, on night one in Triple Mania in Las Vegas. Your thoughts on that one before we get into the El Grande Americano part of it all?
Well, I have for weeks now been complaining that why is Rey Mysterio the general manager of AAA, but he's also wrestling on Raw? Yeah. Like, why? Like, isn't that a conflict of interest? And now he's wrestling in his own promotion. I know it's wrestling logic, and it sometimes is very illogical, but I just feel like you could have come up with some better angle than having Rey constantly wrestling as well as running the GM. I mean, I know we just saw it not too long ago with Nick Aldis, but that was a one-time deal. It seems like Rey's always wrestling.
He doesn't want to make it a one-time deal.
Aldis wants to come back?
Yeah, he does want to come back. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's something you're going to have to. Yeah, absolutely. So he doesn't want to make it a one-time deal at all, my friend.
Okay.
He said that. I don't know if that ultimately happened, but he did impress a lot of people with his performance, which he didn't impress me because this is what I expected out of a guy that was the NWA World Champion this decade. I believe, if I remember certain. No, was he this decade? No, he wasn't this decade. He was the previous decade when he lost to Cody Rhodes, I think. I don't know. It's not too far in the past. He was still able to go ahead and wrestle. Let's just put it that way.
But to be honest, I'm looking forward to Triple Mania. I've never watched a Triple Mania. I've seen highlights of it. I would definitely want to see it. I definitely want to see the little sprinkling of WWE that you're going to get in there as well. I want to see how that's going to work because so far, I think that the AAA WWE relationship has turned out to be pretty good because it makes for unique matches and it makes for interesting television. And I'm excited for it. I can't wait for the show.
Let me check to see the actual date. Nick Aldis had it till 2018. Oh no, 2021. He did have it till 2021. Okay. All right. 2021 indeed. So Nick Aldis did have it this decade. So again, that matchup, though, seeing, and I understand Rey Mysterio Jr. is probably one of the best wrestlers ever that, you know, works size differential matches. Because as you remember from the early 2000s, mid-2000s, when even on his own title run, remember when he had the WWF title, he was always able to get to the point where, yeah, okay, this matchup against this 6 foot whatever or 7 foot whatever guy, he made believable. But that was quite a bit ago, and that was with wrestlers who were probably a little bit less green than Omos is. Because Omos has been around. Omos has worked in Japan. Omos has worked in Mexico, whatnot. But not on a frequency basis, but he's mainly worked in behind the scenes as far as, you know, working at the center, the as far as development center and things of that nature. So with that said, I don't know how this will work. Rey Mysterio Jr. is going to have to use every bit of his many 20-30 year experience as far, actually 35, but he's going on 40. You realize that he's getting close to 40. Because when did he start? It was 12, 13, 14?
Yeah, like I was going to say very young. Like I wanted to say like 15.
Yeah, so he's about 35 years, 35 year plus experience in this matchup to make it even look anything passable, my friend.
Well, I mean, if there is one guy that can do it, it is Rey Mysterio Jr. I mean, you go
You go still back look good last time he was in the ring. So
yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, you know, you think back to, you know, he took on, you know, all those giants in WCW, then his own title run in the WWE. He still looks like he still can go. He hasn't dropped or hasn't lost a step, so to speak. If there's somebody to make a believable match and make almost look good, it's Rey Mysterio for sure.
So there you have it, as far as the lead-in for that match. And then, again, they don't have much announced for Triple Mania match night one. But they already sold enough to move them from a small, tiny facility to a much larger one at the MGM Grand Arena. So that'll tell you right there that that's a good sign. I'm hoping they'll fill it up. I don't think they will, but I'm hoping at least they get 7,000-8,000. Maybe 10,000 for that, as far as it's concerned. Although Triple Mania used to be a humongous showcase, as you remember, as well as I do, filling stadiums at one time, as far as it's concerned. So hopefully that day will come again where AAA can fill those kind of stadiums in Mexico or outside of that if need be. But with that said, night two is obviously what a focus is. And with that said, you have on September 13th, Dominic Mysterio versus El Grande Americano. And you and I talked about a year ago. We talked about Dominic Mysterio as far as someone who is really a heat getter, who was really there. His career, especially leading into the John Cena part of it, when John Cena and him were feuding. And even before that, he was the biggest heel at one time in the WWE. And stop me if you heard this before from WWE and AEW the past 2 years. What the hell have they been doing so wrong to ruin a character that garners so much heat? They have him lose every week on Raw, almost every week. I think he just won a tag team match, if I remember correctly. But with that said, it's just so disappointing. It's just so disappointing to see what has become of Dominic Mysterio. We were talking about him as possibly being a world champion as far as a WWE world champion. I know he's a AAA mega champion, but a WWE world champion. What has gone wrong with Dominic Mysterio and the way they perceive him now as opposed to what they did then?
I don't know. Maybe he needs a fresh coat of paint. I mean, change up his look.
They killed the Judgment Day. They shouldn't have, John. Why? It just seemed like a no-brainer.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm not in the booking department. But no, I mean, I think Dom needs a freshen. He needs to be freshened up a little bit. I don't know, a different wardrobe maybe. Just maybe, and he's got to get a little more size, I think. I think that, you know, he's still one of the smaller guys on the roster. And I think that, you know, they definitely in the front office probably maybe want him to gain a little bit of weight.
But I wanted him to win and in sort of a honky-tonk man where, again, you know, honky-tonk man looked like he could have been beaten by anyone on that WWE roster, but yet found his way to hold that title by hook or by crook, the Intercontinental title, for over a year. And that's exactly what I wanted for him. You could see the parallels with the Honky Tonk Man and him if he had gotten that type of run in the WWE. And it just seemed like you had this opportunity to go ahead and do that, you know, everybody was going to believe that this would be the guy, you know, that could beat him, or this could be the guy that would beat him, and he would do everything he could, cheat in every single match, that he would find a way to win until the time is right. And again, just seems like they blew that opportunity, and I think they'll regret that.
Maybe I'll throw this out there. Do you think maybe there's sour grapes from the front office because Dom's doing double duty both in AAA and on the main roster?
How? That's I mean, their design. That's the company. Their design. They own AAA. They own WWE. That's like, okay, I'm going to send you and work at this company, and then part of your time I'm going to have you work at this company. But I'm getting mad at you because you're working for this company that I sent you.
It was just an idea.
No, I'm not mad at you, but I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? It's I'm not mad at you in the slightest. It's like. You know, you're trying to beat your head up against the wall because you have something good in Dominic Mysterio and you found a way to ruin it. But then again, you and I have been watching this beloved entertainment industry for decades, and we've seen many an individual that is or has a lot of momentum behind them, and they've just been snuffed out by really bad booking. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Do you think though that this is gonna put the kibosh, so to speak, that's gonna end Dominic's heel run and maybe they change him to a babyface? Or no? What do you think?
I don't think he's a good babyface. I don't see it. I mean, yeah, reconciling with your father, it's great for a little while, but then he was his own man as a heel. He is his own man as a heel. No matter how much he loses, he is still his own man as a heel. I just think if you go back to a face, you know, it gets a nice little short bump, you know, reconcile with your father, whatnot. But then you're just following in your father's footsteps. And that's something I think he doesn't need to do at this point in time.
Okay. All right. Well, it's going to be a great match because I'm sure that El Grande Americano is going to be quite the challenger for the Mega Championship. And I think I agree with you as I think that we're definitely going to see a new champion in AAA.
I think that's what they're doing. I think that's, you know, these companies are positioning themselves now. They're trying to show their best face forward, or what they perceive to be their best face forward right now, that they've put a lot of in AEW investing a lot of time, money and resources into Will Ospreay, and they're giving him the ball and run with it. And after the El Grande Americano feud has died off, we've seen Piero Stelmar try to go ahead and pick up the slack for that. And while it hasn't reached that height of success, it's still El Grande Americano is very much loved in the country. And as long as Ludwig Kaiser doesn't get any, law enforcement issues, which is still being battled in court as we speak, as far as his previous one. I think he's going to get the title. I think they're going to run with it and see what happens, because at some point in time, you've got to put your best or most successful wrestlers in the best position to succeed for the company going forward. And I think that's what they need to do on that.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, yeah, you definitely hit it right on the head when you said that they have an already built-in follow-up match, because you're right. Los Perros del Mal, they've been working, giving him different kinds of, him being, of course, El Grande Americano, giving him a bunch of different grief. And so I think they have already set that up. So I think probably you see Los Perros try to do something and they blunder it, they mess it up, and that leads Grande Americano to get the victory.
I think so, and that would lead to Dominic Mysterio maybe becoming a face. He was like a face for like a minute, mm-hmm. I think, in AAA. I think for like, you know, just a few minutes until he backstabbed him, because they were both fighting Piero Stelmar. And then he backstabbed El Grande Americano to be the Dominic Mysterio we all know and hate. And I agree with you. I just think it's time. I just think that by the fact that he's just been portrayed so poorly on Raw, I just think it's time to give it up. And, you know, the momentum is still with El Grande Americano, and I think they need to go ahead and do just that. And I think that would be a great way to cap off Triple Mania 2-night event on the 11th and 13th, is to go ahead and bring out a new victor going forward. And with CMLL, even though they're not selling out every single arena show, almost every arena show they're still selling out, but not quite unless Mystico's on it. They need their best foot forward. They need to put and present their best foot forward as far as El Grande Americano. And like you said, there's both the AAA contenders that you could line up with Piros Del Mar or other individuals, but you can also bring in WWE talent, mm-hmm. fresh WWE talent as well.
Yeah, it could be somewhere where Gunther could go and wreak havoc for a few months. And it's a great place to take. Like, I like what they're doing with Nathan Frazier. They're taking him out of, I mean, I think he was on SmackDown, but they're taking him and actually doing something with him. You know, I don't know, you know, what happened with his tag team partner or whatnot in terms of storyline, but definitely that you're absolutely correct. You could bring some people down from the main roster and help fill in, just like they used to do with NXT.
Absolutely, indeed. So with that said, if you have any thoughts on how AAA Triple Mania is setting itself up for the 11th, 13th, the 11th in Las Vegas, 13th in Mexico, please let us know your thoughts right there below at the PBDcast or popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. But before we head on out, a couple more things to go ahead and touch on. NXT also was trying to compete for time against AEW's All In, and Heatwave brought us two new champions for the men's and women's, because they're trying to, just again, we call this in the business hotshotting, to go ahead and trying to go ahead and get some title wins to get people talking, and they wanted to get some eyes away from AEW's All In. So with that said, Kalani Jordan did get the women's championship, defeating Kendall Gray. She looks like she's going to be the face of the NXT Women's Champ division, a division that was lauded by Grayson Waller, who I'll get to in a minute. And Kendall Gray probably is someone that a lot of people in WWE are high on. I think you've spoken about her as well before. She probably will be a future call up in the not too distant future, indeed. Although, don't put her in a group like Tatum Paxley that has her stand out. Why did they put her with Bliss and Flair? I don't get. They don't aesthetically. It just doesn't match. As far as it's concerned, I don't get it. Their styles are different. But mm-hmm. okay, whatever. But with that said, my friend, also in the championship match, as far as the NXT men's are concerned, in the four-way, Zilova 2 is probably going to be fast-tracked out of NXT, you know, to go as far as the bloodline is concerned. So he's probably got not a long stay. Mike Santana, a.k.a. Cruz. Again, if you've wrestled in NXT in the past couple of years, it's Mike Santana because of the relationship with TNA. Why did you go ahead and change it to Cruz Monte? I don't know. Sometimes WWE does the stupidest things with names, and I'll just leave it at that. But Grayson Waller, you knew the minute he cut that promo, that sort of worked shoot promo that he made on NXT TV a couple months ago, you knew he was getting the title, because, you know, if he gets the kind of reaction that he did when he gets bumped down from the Big Show to NXT, you know they're going to go ahead and make sure they give him that title. And that's what he did on Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't know how I feel about it, because I'm not impressed by Grayson Waller. And maybe his time in NXT will prove that he can improve on his skills, and he will make me eat my hat, so to speak. But I've just never been a big fan of him. I don't like the character. I don't like him in the ring. But that being said, maybe, as I just said a few moments ago, maybe NXT is the place for him. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you need to get more, I mean, we talk about it, you know, how many people, like Lyra Valkyrie, probably needs more time in NXT, but that's another subject for another time, I suppose, her and her new gimmick. Overall, I think Heatwave was pretty good in regards to what they presented. I do like that. That's what I was looking for, that they unified the stupid speed championship with the women's North American championship to make it one title. If they would only do that with certain world titles on the main roster, that would be great too, but I digress. Look, NXT, they gave a pretty good showing with Heatwave.
And last but not least, as we get into it, before we head on out, my friend, with all that going on, guess what the WWE is doing as they lead you into Sunday night's main event. As we tape this, this week is all tape shows. So in essence, we're talking about taping shows. We've seen a lot of taping shows in the past couple. It's almost like the old days with a lot of taping shows in advance. But Raw and SmackDown have been taped for this week as we're recording this. So that's interesting to see, indeed to see. But Sunday night's main event is bringing you a couple of interesting matches at the top of the card. Let me know your thoughts as far as how this is shaping up in your mind. Sunday night's main event. But the fact is that it's still on Peacock. Will anybody care about Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton and Obafemi versus Braun Breaker?
That's a great question. I think many people will be interested in Braun and Oba because that's something new. It's something different. It's something that they've actually put a lot of effort into in the booking and the storyline. However, I don't know if folks are going to really give 2 cents worth of their time, energy, or attention for Cody versus Orton.
Should have been a SummerSlam match between those two.
Yeah, or at this point, hold it to Survivor Series. Yep. Don't put it on this match or this card, which seems, let's be honest, very bleh, very mid. The other two matches are just unbelievably bad that I don't care about. You talked about them. It's going to be Charlotte, Alexa, and Tatum versus Jade Cargill and her crew. Okay. Not interested in that at all. And then, of course, your favorite wrestler, Baron Corbin, is going to take on Little Yachty because Little Yachty's got to get involved with Trick Williams.
And if he doesn't win in 5 minutes, Baron Corbin, he has to face against Trick Williams, which, again, you know, there you go. A wrestler with some promise, a wrestler with a lot of talent, a wrestler with something that you could see there if it's grown right and dealt with right. But no. They have him lose to the most boring wrestler on the face of God's green earth, in my opinion, in Baron Corbin. And with that said, yeah, you've devalued him even more.
And look, I'm not taking anything away from the musical abilities of Little Yachty, okay? He's not my cup of tea, right? His music is not for me. I get it, okay?
I understand.
But you're also putting him in there and saddling Trick Williams, somebody who doesn't need the comedic effect or the interaction. He doesn't need that.
He came out with such a lot of momentum coming from NXT.
Yes, and that's where I feel like this whole, not to mention there's Baron Corbin as the opponent, but that's where this whole storyline has kind of jumped the shark, so to speak. It's just, you know, there's nothing there. Trick Williams deserves better, I'm going to say it. And I think this is going to be a terrible match on Sunday night's main event.
Well, at least for the first 5 minutes. And again, there's an immediate match between Baron Corbin and Trick Williams, which I think is what it's leading up to. I think he runs around and there's interference or whatnot so that Little Yachty will survive the 5 minutes. And then you will see Trick Williams versus Baron Corbin to show the fans something, you know, really decent after watching 5 minutes of something not so decent. I'll leave
it at that. Yeah, exactly. But you asked if you know, if it's important, and I'd say that this is not an important show. With the matches that have been already released, I don't think it's very important. Do you?
No, I've never, even from WrestleMania and seeing the angle there, Orton versus Rhodes doesn't move the needle much for me. I mean, we've seen variations, just like with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, we've seen variations of this through the years. So this is nothing fresh for me. Kevin Owens, how is this, you know, we're seeing him come back and making a presence. Will that be something where he gets involved in this matchup because he's been buddy-buddy with Randy Orton as of late? And then what's going on with the Bloodline, which, you know, I'm not a big fan of as far as the Bloodline is concerned. I think that's been tired and played out for quite a spell. but people still resonate with it. People still respond to it. So I'll go ahead and give it its due. But I do like LA Knight. I told you that. I think they should give him the spotlight. But the problem is that they're not. And now he has to share it with Solo Sikoa, who is enjoying life now. Enjoying life because they finally found something for him to bring out his personality. And give him the props. He is the one, before we head on out, my friend, in the last couple minutes. Give him the props. Because, again, if you think it's silly, that's fine. But a few months ago, Danhausen came onto the scene. And he came out with a thud. But say, give it a second. Give it a look. And seeing what happened, and he took the ball and he ran with it, Danhausen did. And now 6 months later, we're seeing the same thing for Solo Sikoa. Pew, pew, pew.
Look, having him be the comedic effect, the levity, if you will, in those promos is fantastic. Because, and they've done a good job with Jacob Batu. So you got Solo Sikoa, who looks like he's aloof and he's just there and he's ready to get it on with the rest of the bloodline. And then you look at Jacob Fatu and you see the promo that he cut last week and you see like just the absolute violence in his words and in his voice. It's a great, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Contradiction, if you will. Paradox. That's what I was looking for. So overall, the bloodline is starting to get a little bit boring. I don't know how much more that I can really care about it. But as you just said, Zilla Fatu is coming and they're signing up all of the Samoans as fast as they can. So, you know, bloodline is going to be around.
They let him go. They let some go and they bring more in.
Yeah. It's weird. So.
But with that said, my friend Haku is back. And it's so funny because I saw his shirt. And that's like $30. I don't know if it's through WWE or through somewhere else. But I think it's WWE. It says, got your nose. And if you know, you know. If you knows, you knows. And I'll leave it at that. But my friend, it's been a great episode.
Yes,
always great to get back into the ring with you, my friend. We got to go ahead and have that booking episode later on down the line. I know a lot of people have been giving us great feedback on that. But any last thoughts, my friend, before we head on out of the ring?
Nope. I just want those wrestling companies out there, whether it's NXT, whether it's AAA, whether it's WWE, whomever it is, AEW, whomever, keep the momentum going. If you have momentum, keep it going. Make new stars, make interesting storylines, and keep us, the fans, entertained.
But also don't ignore that the superior talent when you have it, like MJF and the Hurt Syndicate. But that's another story again. For another day, indeed. John Orlando for the PBD cast and Matt Talk. Great to have you here. As always, as my tag team partner, it's me, Gerald Glassford. Go ahead and make sure you like and subscribe. PBD cast, Matt Talk, Pop Culture Cosmos, Lakers Fast Break, all the good stuff that we do each and every time out as part of the State of Pro Wrestling right here, coming at you every month, indeed. For John Orlando, it's Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. We'll be back next month for another State of Pro Wrestling right here at the PBD Cast and the Pop Culture Cosmos. Pew, pew, pew!
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Gerald Glassford, talking about all of the news in the world of professional wrestling that has happened in August or September. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode. And if you did and you want to let me know, or if you have any general questions or concerns, you can reach me a couple of different ways. First off, you can, of course, shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pbdcast.com. You can also drop me a line on Threads, Instagram, or Facebook. Just look for @PVDcast. And I'm still on Twitter. Just look for my personal Twitter handle @PVDNVP. Maybe there's some folks that you know would enjoy the PVDcast. Well, let them know there's a couple different avenues for hearing it. First off, you can go to PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, and you can get every single new episode right there. You can also use your favorite podcasting outlet or app to listen to the show. All you have to do is go into your favorite podcasting outlet or app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while we're talking about those outlets and apps, don't forget to rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, while you're doing that, you should go ahead and, of course, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But wait, there's one final way that you can hear the show, and that is every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a live Facebook broadcast of the week's episode. So there you go, three very easy ways to hear the show. PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet and app, and of course, through the Facebook page and the live broadcast every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat in each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.